Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you? Merry Christmas, if you are a person who celebrates Christmas, and Merry 26th of December, if you're not. I hope I find you in a good place today. I hope you're having a good day, a good week, a good end of the year. If you're catching this just as it comes out, I am so honoured to have your ears for the next however long, and I'm so excited to share with you, to share this space with the gorgeous Harry Collette. Harry is today's podcast guest. He is an Essex-born actor best known for playing Ollie Hyde in Casualty from 2014 to 2022. He also played Tommy Stubbins in Doolittle with Robert Downey Jr., and his latest role is appearing as Prince Jace Valerian in HBO's House of the Dragon. I have admired Harry's work long before our paths crossed, but certainly his work and his work ethic since our paths did cross on Casualty in 2020. And I'm so proud and so excited to see the heights that this young man is achieving in his career. And I know he will go on to continue achieving. He is so humble. He's such a laugh. We had such a fun time recording this episode, and he's just an absolute delight to talk to. And I'm sure you will get that in bucket loads from listening to this episode. I can't wait for you to hear what he has to say, to learn about his journey, to understand what it's like being someone who has performed as long as he has, since he was just a little kid, right up to now, as he blossoms into the wonderful, kind young man that he is. Enjoy, everyone. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. This is In the Room with Adele James, and here is the unfiltered version of Harry Collette's story.
I think it's going.
Are we live?
We're live. How do you feel?
Feel great.
Amazing. Hi, Harry.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
How's life?
Yeah. Mad.
Mad.
Mental.
Oh, we got to get into that. What do you mean?
Nah, it's just, you know, I pinch myself every day, and I'm so grateful to be in the position that I'm in now. But yeah, it's all come very quickly, and it's all taken me a bit by surprise. But it's all right. I'm not complaining. It's the life that I wanted, so it's good.
It does really happen, doesn't it? It's like I think this is one of the only industries I know where your life can literally change overnight, or over the course of like a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Yeah, it's scary if you think about it. And especially, like, there's definitely been people that it's happened faster than it's happened to me. Like, think of what happened with, I don't know, this isn't even an actor, but Justin Bieber, say, he was just a little kid, wasn't he? And he posted a video on YouTube and it went absolutely mental. Like, to be fair, I am glad it didn't happen to me when I was younger, because I feel like I had time to actually grow up, because I feel like that would have really messed with my head. Because even though I've got a great family and great friends who actually keep me grounded, I think it would have been really hard to stay grounded if I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm glad I kind of have a head about me, and I'm older now and I'm more mature about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Glad it didn't happen when I was younger, because I don't know if I would be the same person I am now.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course. I mean, you started acting from a very young age. We were just talking about that, right? Six.
Yeah.
That's incredibly young. What were you doing at 6 years old?
Well, I used to dance with a dance group called Diversity. And it was before they went on Britain's Got Talent. And they had a little dance shop in Raynham, like a studio, and I went there and I just used to love it. I was five, I think, when I was four when I started, and Ashley Banjo was like, he was my teacher. So after school, I had quite a tough time at school, like sometimes where of like getting, I don't know, picked on or whatever. So I'd always go there straight after school and just dance, and it would always make me forget about all my problems. I don't know how it does that, but acting and dancing, or just doing something you genuinely like enjoy, like, it just makes you forget about everything. It just makes you like it's magical, really. But I did a sort of dancing show, because every year they sort of do like a recap with all the kids, and an agent was in the crowd, and she went up to my mum and dad And she said, is that your boy up there? I think he'll be really great for acting. And he's like born to be on stage. And so my mum and dad went to me and said, oh, this lady's interested. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? And I was like, not really. I mean, I was young. I was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds lame. I was like, I don't want to do that. But then mum and dad were just like, why don't you just try it and you see if you like it? You didn't think you'd like dancing and you love it now, so why don't you just try it? I was like, okay. And then I got put up for my first audition, and that was for Billy Elliot the musical, which I played a character called Small Boy. Funny enough, actually, the Billy Elliots were Tom Holland and Dean Charles Chapman, who we've come across each other in our career once again, which is really weird. But yeah, that was my first ever show, and everything just sort of snowballed from there. I started off with theatre, then I discovered film and TV and found out I loved that so much more. So everything just sort of snowballed. It all just sort of happened.
Yeah, but, it does.
Yeah.
Once you're in, I think you're in, aren't
yeah.
you? Have you ever had a break from acting?
I suppose I could say the breaks of getting like no work, and they're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough. I wish I didn't, because I was going to give up just before Doolittle.
Really?
And I was really getting really sick of it. And I was really panicky thinking about the future, because I was in secondary school as well. So reality started to check in on me and was like, is this really going to work out? Because I was just getting absolutely nothing. And I was like, I need to actually maybe focus on school.
And so what age are we saying? What year was this?
I'd say middle of year 9, maybe.
14?
Yeah, 13, 14.
Yeah.
And I was just terrified. It broke my heart, really, because it's what I wanted to do when I was older, and it was like, I just want to be an actor, and that was my goal. And when work just went absolutely like into nothing, it just scared me. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm literally good at nothing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, apart from acting, like, I'm actually... there's nothing I'm useful at. I can't be like a plasterer like my dad was. I'm not good like that way. Like, can't really be a receptionist. Like, I can't imagine myself sitting do you know what I mean? Like, it's just something I wouldn't be good at. I was going to give up. I said to my mum, I don't want to do it anymore. I said that. I was like, okay, I need to be real with you, mum. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. And my mum and dad have always said, we're 100% supportive of you. If you don't want to do it, you just tell us, we'll be fine with it. They're not forceful parents. Like, you can get some parents like that in the industry with kids, which is absolutely dreadful. But I said to mum and dad, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not enjoying not getting any work. It's demotivating. And they was like, okay, well, why don't you just wait for me 2 weeks? Like, just do that. Just wait for me for 2 weeks. And then after that, if nothing comes up, then you can give it up. Week later, I got the audition for Doolittle. Then it went on for about 5 times. I really had hope, because it was like the first audition I'd had in ages. And I got into like the 5th audition. And then I got a call while I was sitting there playing my Xbox with my mates, saying, do you want to go to Atlanta for a screen test? And it was me and another boy. And I was like, okay, where's this screen test going to be taking place? And it was like, oh yeah, just Robert Downey Jr.'s house, like, while he's filming Infinity War in Atlanta right now. I was like, what? I was like, this is mental. Like, I didn't even know he was going to be in it. Like, this is crazy. So we went there. I did the audition. Really didn't think I was going to get it, which, by the way, it's really weird. The auditions that I think I've smashed that, I don't get. The auditions that I think, oh, I don't think I did well there, or I don't think I got it, I'd get them, which is so weird. And I'm just like, but anyway, I did the audition. I heard nothing for about 2 months, I'd say, a month. And I was gutted, absolutely gutted. So I just kept calling my mum. I was like, have they called yet? And then I got picked up from school and they said it on the Bluetooth, would you like to play the role of Tommy Stubbins in Doolittle? And I didn't even go crazy. Same with Game of Thrones. I didn't go crazy. I just sat there in shock. Like, I just sort of sat there. And my mum literally went to me in the car for Doolittle. She went, are you not going to say anything? I went, I don't know what to say. This is crazy. Like, I just, and yeah, it, and for me, it doesn't sink in until it's out, because I never really get my hopes up until it's out, because anything can happen. I don't know if like the show could go down, or like, you know, there's been shows where they just give up halfway. So I never get my hopes up until it's actually, I see it on the screen and other people see it. But it's just a crazy life, isn't it, really?
It's such a crazy life. I do think there are so many things within that. The compartmentalization,
yeah,
definitely around auditions, like, which I feel sometimes I'm much better at than others. But also that thing you've just said about shock is so, I really relate to that.
Yeah.
Like getting something massive and you just think it's going to be like this huge party and actually you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It looks like you don't appreciate anything, but really you do. But you're like, wow. You're just like.
It's like wanting something for such a long time and then you get it and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to do that now.
It's not what you expect, is it? It's like...
No, and you know what the other thing about that, I suppose, certainly when it comes to, like, a job, is you get the job and then you still have to wait.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got a schedule.
Prep comes in, like, four months.
Yeah, you ain't got no scripts. You don't know really anything about your character other than what they gave you in the audition.
Yeah.
So you get this call over Bluetooth after they've picked you up from school saying you've got the part in Doolittle.
Yeah.
What was it like when you got the part for Thrones? What were you doing?
I was just in my room again. Playing Xbox, probably. I was just, literally just, this is like all I do, really. My sister was in, my little sister, and my mum and dad went for to take my dog for a walk because it was in the summery time. And I'm trying to think, was it quarantine-y time? I don't think it was proper quarantine-y, but I think it was like people were still working from home. So mum and dad were still working from home. So they'd like to go on like summer walks together so I can get some like time to themselves and the dog. And it was nice. And me and Brooke was never really bothered because we were just like, we just want to stay in. We were just lazy. So we just stayed in and my agent Mary called me and then he said, right, so, you know, the tapes were sent off to HBO because I got an email like a week before saying they'd been sent off, but I didn't get my hopes up because apparently they'd sent off the tapes of all the kids to HBO, so it didn't mean anything. They come back and they said they absolutely love you and they'd want to offer you the role. I went, are you kidding me?
From a tape?
No. I did a tape and then I did one tape and then went straight into the studio and I saw, Adele, when I walked in, there was these... Like, I had short hair at the time. Like, I looked like a typical Essex boy. And there was these guys there, which proper tall, muscly, long hair, looked like proper princes. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, well, all I can do is try, really. Like,
of course.
I'm just walking in. I'm just bowling in there with my Essex accent and my whatever. But I tried. Thing is, I just make sure I try my best on everything. And I try my best there. And... I remember the first thing I said, which I said it, and I was like, why did I say that when I walked in? And it was really embarrassing. I just went, oh, wish I could shake your hand, but it's COVID, so... And I just said that. I went, why did I even like bother opening my mouth? But
that's personality, though.
Yeah.
That's like, hello, I'm here, I'm not a robot.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to be normal. Like, I just wanted to be me. But yeah, my mum and dad came back from the dog walk, and I didn't even tell my sister. I just told my sister to come downstairs, and I just said, so I'm... gonna be in Game of Thrones. What? My mum like hugged me. She did a like Essex girl shout.
What's an Essex girl shout?
I don't know. You'd have to meet my mum to find out. She's gonna hate me.
I
hope she doesn't
listen to
this.
You've got to.
She just went, oh my god, like that. I just went and then hugs me. Oh, I really hope she doesn't listen to this. She's gonna kill me for that. but she gave me a big hug. My dad like gave me a hug and my dad said well done, and my dog had probably no clue what was going on for all the shouting. But I was just, again, my mum was like, are you not excited? I was like yeah, but you know how it is, mum. I can't really get my hopes up like now, like, and it's amazing, but I don't know, like, I'm just, it's amazing, but I just don't know, I can't get my hopes up. She's like, okay, fair enough. And then it just started getting... Game of Thrones coming on quite quick. The prep was quick. I went for a hair and makeup fitting and I had short hair, short back and sides. Looked like I'd just come straight out of a Turkish barber's, which I did. And they was like, what are you doing? That's not medieval hair. I was like, yeah, good point. No one told me though, to be fair. And it was like, I can't even say the code name on here just in case like they're still going to use it for season two, but it was under a code name still, really. And I mean, I'd heard of Game of Thrones, but I hadn't even watched it at that point. So I didn't really know if it had certain hair requirements. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, right, we're going to have to go for the wig. And I was like, okay. So they brought out this wig and you know what? It was great, right? But I did think they were joking.
I've got to be honest, Harry, the wig
is not really
one of my favourite things about <It's> the hair in general. Like, please don't not cast me over this, people, but the hair in general in dragons is really something.
It is something. But it's very Game of Thronesy, isn't it?
It's very Game of Thronesy. But that's now what you've makes got it. The hair, so look at that. No more wig.
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know. Maybe they want consistency. Maybe the wig will be coming back out.
Maybe, I don't know. It depends, because my hair is not at all like the one in the wig. Because, to be fair, the wig fits the time period. But when you compare my hair in real life with the wig, and I showed my mates like all pictures of it. They were creasing. But, yeah, and then they said, can you grow your hair out just for another option? I was like, okay. But even though they didn't use my real hair in season one, you know, it's like, it was still nice to see my hair at this length because I've never, ever grown it out before. And it's curly. Didn't know it was curly.
It's so curly. It really suits you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's gorgeous.
I don't think I'd go back to short hair really again unless I'm doing it for a role.
No, it's
the only
gorgeous.
Thing I'd do is give it a trim, but
curly hair for the win.
Yeah.
I didn't know my hair could curl, which to be honest seems like the most stupid thing in the world.
Oh really?
These days it's so curly, but yeah, I had no idea. Oh, having a little nootropics coffee, are you?
Nootropics coffee is actually really good.
You enjoying it?
I'm actually really I was just saying to you earlier, wasn't I? I was saying that this is actually my first cup of hot coffee.
Yeah,
I only
you're
ever
a nice
drink
coffee
iced,
guy. Yeah,
and I've only probably got it from Starbucks. That's it.
You can make it iced. I mean, if you pour it over ice, then you've got a nice coffee.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
a bit more milk as well.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm glad you like it.
No, I love it.
I've given you this one because you weren't feeling too well, and
no.
It's got this is Mojo, so it's made with cordyceps mushroom and Siberian ginseng, which has got immune boosting properties. So wow. When you're not feeling very well, it's a good coffee to have.
I feel better already.
Oh, my love, before we go on, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you might be able to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the follow button, the rate button, whatever the platform allows for. 5 stars would be so awesome and a cheeky review, but whatever you think is fair is great too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry to kill the vibe. I'm really curious. So obviously we cross paths on Casualty a little bit, and I know what it's like to kind of work on a job like that and, you know, be away from home and all the rest of it. But I've never worked on something of the scale of House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
And what I'm really curious about as you're kind of in it now, or I suppose in between seasons, but very much a big part of it. What's like a typical week like now?
When I'm working or when I'm not working?
A bit of both. Like, what's going on for you right now? Like, for somebody who's watching this, who's like, gosh, I would love to do like multiple seasons of a TV show.
Yeah.
What's the in-between bit like?
The in-between bit is tough, really, because, yeah, it's awkward to get more work in between because you can't overlap with if you do next season.
Yeah.
Which I think is really tough. It's tougher than doing a film, definitely. But at the same time, there's so many... There's more pros and cons, obviously. But the in-between bit has been a little bit of a struggle for me because, you know, obviously summer came as well when you're spending money when you're not earning it as well, which is a big issue.
Yes.
And even though, like, I don't do it for the money, it's still important, especially when I'm not making it for a very long period of time. Like, I think we finished season one in February, and I haven't got a job since, which is tough. But I'm glad I've got season two, which is amazing. But yeah, I've just been really cautious with money and stuff to try and save it as much as I possibly can. Because my mates go out all the time, but it's good for them. But they're earning like a monthly wage. But they think that I feel like that's the biggest assumption. Everyone thinks you earn millions and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're really not. But I don't know, some people probably are, but they think that you're like making loads of money. They're like, wow, you're so lucky. Yet I'm very, very lucky to be in the position I'm in. But when I stop working, who knows if you're going to hit a dead end? Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. The hobby started to kick in. I started to drive myself a bit mental and my family a bit mental for being at home all the time. I've definitely become a bit more lazy with getting up late and stuff like that. But that will soon change when we start season two. But yeah, I learned how to play the guitar. That was something that I never really had time to do because my dad used to play the drums and guitar. So he sort of helped me out a little bit with it. And then I learned how to DJ, which was great.
So cool.
Which I just thought, I love going to raves, right? Raves are brilliant, like Printworks. And I've been going to the Beams recently. Like, that's a brilliant venue. They're not even amazing venues, right? They're literally just old abandoned warehouses, right? Massive warehouses. They put like massive speakers in there, amazing lights, and all like the equipment that you need to DJ. And it's insane. I literally ordered the decks in the rave. I thought, I want to do that. Like, as a hobby, I want to. Obviously, my main focus is acting, but I want to try that. Like, that looks cool. Like, so I ordered the decks on my phone while I was in the rave, and then they come like a week later. I didn't have a laptop, so I got myself a renewed one from Amazon, which was actually only like £150 for a MacBook.
Oh, that's really good.
But it was second hand.
Those like refurbished ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've pretty much always had them until my last Mac. Yeah, they are great.
But yeah, I got the decks. Really enjoy it. Had a couple of gigs. I mean, I think Idris Elba DJs an axe, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, quite a lot of people DJ and do something else, or like particularly acting. I wish I had the kind of brain for it. I don't think.
I'm
not musical enough.
I reckon you could do it.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, Harry. All right, maybe I'll try.
Maybe I'll bring my decks wherever we see each other next, and
give me a little lesson.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm down.
Get proper ravey in here.
But let's I would want to be DJing to like 90s R&B.
Yeah.
Noughties R&B. Yeah.
That's pretty much what I DJ anyway. Just remixes.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I'd be doing. No house music.
No house music.
No house music. For you. I'll leave you to that because I just don't listen
don't
to it
hate
enough.
On house music.
I'm not hating on it. Listen, I'll go. I'll listen. I'll dance. You know, I'll doof. I'll have a good time. But I definitely don't know enough house music to be able to do all that mixy business.
Nineties R&B it is then.
Yeah, I'll take the '90s, and you can do that.
Well, a lot of people think I'm crazy because I listen to it like every day when I wake up, like all through the day. And most people are like, how can you listen to it like this? I have to be absolutely hammered in a club to have to listen to this. But I love it. And I can, you know, I actually have fallen asleep to it on many occasions.
Really?
Like bass. Yeah. I don't know why. That's I'm a strange man. I don't know what it is. But I put them headphones on. I've got headphones next to me. And they're noise cancelling. And I don't know what it is. But even house music, I can fall asleep to.
That's a skill
in
and of itself.
That just shows how much I'm in love with house music.
I think it does. Well, maybe how much you've been listening to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's so important. Like, it's taken me, gosh, how many years to figure out that having a hobby is a good idea.
Yeah.
I started pole dancing in the summer and
I'm
obsessed. Like, it's honestly the most important hour of my week. I only do it once a week at the moment. But it's become the most important hour of my week. It's only time I spend time on my own working on something just because I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not for my CV. It's not for my career in any way. I'm not going to monetize it. It's literally just something to do that I find really fun. And it's making me feel like strong. And yeah, it's so fun. I highly recommend
it. That's so sick.
I highly recommend it.
I know, like I said, I'd teach you how to DJ, but I don't know if I could do the pole dancing.
Oh, you definitely could.
Nah.
Listen, I saw those pictures you've been putting up. Hello. Hello. You've got more abs than I got, baby. Okay. I feel it's so weird because I know you as like, look, baby Harry.
And then I'm posting these raunchy pictures.
I'm like, oh, damn. I don't know where to look. Oh. No, it's funny. You're really coming into your own, aren't you, young man?
I mean, the fashion stuff has really picked up. It's great. Like that one I just posted recently was for All Saints, and then I just did one for Prada, which is amazing. So modern isn't really something I thought I'd get into, but since that's another thing. Since the break, that's the only really work I've been getting. But I don't do it for money because I see it as a bit of like fun. There's this fantastic photographer called Jemima, and we've been doing a lot of work together recently. And yeah, modeling's great. Like, I really enjoy it. And fashion is really cool, like seeing all the different things. And I wear things that I would never wear, like, because I'm quite basic with how I dress, I think. So, like, some of the stuff I get to wear is amazing because it's just so different. Like, I look at that in a shop and go, what is that? But then, like, you put it on, and I thought, that's actually pretty sick. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know it until you actually try it.
Yeah, it's a bit like costume, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, the thought of being in front of a still camera makes me really uncomfortable. I remember listening to somebody talking about modelling and they were like, I just have developed a persona that is able to do those things, that can go in front of a camera with all these like crazy outfits on.
Yeah.
And just, it's like I'm acting, and that's the only way she could get through it. So I think if I ever tried to approach anything like that, I would have to do it from that lens. But yeah, putting stuff on that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just costume. I'm sure they wouldn't like it to be called costume, but it's not that dissimilar, is it? You kind of step, does it make you feel different?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, I don't know. I don't think I could ever yet wear it in like public, but I don't have the confidence for that. I feel like the more confidence you get, the easier it is to put it off, because if you actually genuinely don't care what people think, like, it suits you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at Harry Styles, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When some people think his fashion is so out there, but he pulls it off so well, and it actually suits him so well. Like, his stuff is sick. And then say if I tried it on, it probably wouldn't suit me as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to find your fashion comfort zone, I suppose. And then that will give you the confidence to pull it off. Everyone has different tastes anyway, in music, in clothes, in films, in TV, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think a lot of those things, they're made for a certain like place, like a certain time and place. So like a lot of them, you'd probably wear at like events and things like that. And or you'd be living in certain communities around certain types of people. Like, you're probably not going to wear it down the road in Essex. You might, but you're probably not.
Me, right now, not right now.
Not right now.
but like I said, I don't have the confidence for it yet. I care about too much what people think, like, which is sad, but like, it is true. So I just seem to go a bit basic when I'm in my hometown. But then it is weird, because when I'm out with my mates in, say, if we go literally in Shoreditch or whatever, I'll wear something a bit more out there because we're in London. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. But I don't know, it's just the way that I roll, really. I don't really know what.
I think we all do, to be honest. I said to you today, it looks like I got dressed in the dark. Because it really does, just threw clothes on.
I think you look great.
Bless you. I'll pay you later, babe. It's like social coding, you know, you go into a certain space, especially somewhere like Shoreditch. Like, I think people are more like creative with their outfits. They're more creative. They have more creative person. There are more creative personalities around. And so that's expressed through things like clothing. And, you know, Essex is home. And so you associate that with a whole bunch of things as well. And also, I mean, I think a lot of actors, I certainly feel this way, but a lot of actors don't want to stand out any more than they already do.
Yeah.
Especially people who have worked on high profile jobs. Because it's likely that whether you were wearing a bin bag or something off a catwalk, if someone's going to spot you at some point and be like, oh, you're so-and-so from such and such. And for me, like, I'm just always trying to I'm just trying to keep my head down because I don't like the attention.
Yeah.
Which sounds a bit counterintuitive given what we do. But you play quite nice characters though, to be fair.
Yeah, I've been quite lucky with not being a bit of a brat or anything. But, well, you know, even in the first, like, sort of Game of Thrones, there was that kid who played Joffrey. I forgot the actor's name.
We were talking about him a couple of episodes ago. I can't remember his name either, but he was really badly bullied.
Yeah, bullied online, and he gave it up, didn't he? You know, I've been quite lucky, but it's weird how people take TV so literally.
Mm.
But even on Casualty, though, you see all that the mums comment on the... I look at the Instagram posts sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, oh, I hate that person. Like, oh, they just make me like, what? But it's just a TV show, love. Like,
that is the best sentence you've said all day. It's just a TV show, love.
Like, I don't know why they're going, like, sometimes, and then they go, oh, I hate that character. Also hate the actor. But why? You've never met them, like in person. They're not going to be remotely, or hopefully not remotely, like their character anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to have to stop reading these things, man, because it really messes with you. You can kind of wind up in a bit of a vacuum on social media. And yours has blown up recently as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You've gone from, I don't know how many, to like well over 200,000.
I think I was on like 65K, and then I'm not 230.
Which is still huge.
Yeah.
And now you're on
231, I think, currently.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I try to pull myself away from social media as much as I can, even though like everyone's been really nice to me so far. Like it's a weird place.
It is.
It's a very strange place. People just open up their thoughts on there, which sometimes I don't need to see. Do you know what I mean? There was this meme that came out about me after Thrones. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, maybe.
About my posture.
Oh, no, I haven't. What are they saying? Who are they?
No, it is quite funny, to be fair. Basically, where I didn't have a job before for so long, and on the topic of Xbox again, I play like a lot of Xbox, obviously. My posture was a bit messed up, right? And to be fair, the photo that they screenshotted, the set, so basically we had this rocky sort of tunnel and you have to duck underneath this rock to get to like the end of the studio. So it was like a rocky tunnel and then half of it was cut off and it was just studio after that. So I had to duck down. Believe it or not, me, I had to duck down. Like, I'm like 5 foot, what, seven. But I had to duck down. And in the space of me ducking down, I looked like my neck was like really forward. But someone screenshotted that and then said it was my posture. So people that don't watch a show think I just stand like that. But there is ones where... there is ones where it's like, I don't know why I'm standing like that. It's true. I don't know what happened, but God knows. But, you know, I'm going to out this out now because I feel like it's time. I actually got it medically checked out after all the stuff on Twitter started coming along because I was actually worried that I had, like, a spinal issue.
Oh,
I was just like, is my spine bending, please? Please tell me, is my spine bending? But it was. It wasn't like curving a lot, but it was like, it's because I watch a lot of TV and stuff, and I'm like, where I'm sitting at work reading scripts, I'm like that, and my back is constantly forward. That's how I sit. That's how I'm comfortable. But because it's been like that over time, I had to get it like cracked and like all of that rubbish.
Oh, babe.
It was a traumatic experience. But no, it's fine.
And you never would have gone had it not been for that meme.
No. But now I've got a lot of pressure to improve it for season two because I've told everyone I will, so.
That's hilarious.
But you know, everyone's like, oh my God, now I really hope his performance ain't rubbish because he's going to be focusing on the posture the whole time instead of the performance. But I'll juggle it. I'll be fine.
We're multitaskers. Yeah. You can absolutely straight back and a phenomenal performance.
Hopefully.
Oh, Harry, the internet is a cruel place, man.
Yeah, but then it would affect my career if it was actually an issue.
It might affect your career. And also it's like, it's just not, I think you just want to give yourself the best chance as you age. You know, you're very young. Yeah. So you'd rather not have back problems when you're young. But so I guess what we're really saying is thank you to the person who made the meme.
Thanks.
I thought you were.
I don't know who created it. No. I actually, you know, I don't know how people still find it funny. I just sort of sit there now and I go, not again. Like, I'll just see it come up somewhere and I'll be like, really? Still going? It's still happening? I thought it's died down by now. It's not died down. I don't think it will ever die down. But yeah, season two is my really chance to, you know, prove that my posture ain't that bad and I can actually focus on the performance as much as the posture or actually more than the posture. But I actually ordered a posture corrector on Amazon also.
Oh God, it's really affected you.
Yeah. I just sit there with the posture corrector on while I'm watching TV or playing Xbox or something. My back actually is like that, but you can't leave it on for like a long amount of time because it will ruin your back otherwise.
Yeah.
So I have to leave it on for like 3 hours or something and I have to take it off.
You've got to take it off, yeah. Because you've got to learn to do it on your own.
Yeah.
I always nag my little sister about posture because she's on her phone like that, you know.
Yeah.
Huddled round and I'm like, you're going to get that nubbing thing on the back of your, at the top of your spine. I've seen it. You're going to get the nubbing thing. And she's like, leave me alone. But I'm always like, pinch your shoulder blades. Just pinch them together.
Yeah.
And then you're taller.
Yeah,
you
are.
And she loves talking about how she's taller than me anyway. So I'm like, look, you're going to be even taller. She's just like, go away. Yeah, I'm such a stickler for it. And then I never do it myself. So this is a good reminder. Let's all just sit up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay, Harry, all that laughing. I'm going to move on to the request for the next guest. So the previous guest before you was a man called Vincent Jerome. And he has asked, has there ever been a time where you've chosen credibility over common sense? And if so, what is that time?
Okay, I'm going to take it as in something that I wish I'd done different.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, you know, obviously being a kid is hard when you're, I don't know if there's any people that are listening to this who can agree also that have started at like a young age like me, but growing up and doing this industry is hard anyway because you're trying to maintain a social life in school and get the right friends while being at work for like a year or so and being out of school, in and out, it's tough. But in like year 8, year 9, year 10, I don't know what happened with me, but I just sort of, I wanted to be popular. I don't know why. Like, I started going in like to different friend groups and stuff and I wanted to, I don't know what it was. I just, like, younger me just always wanted to be popular when I didn't need it. Like, I just wanted to be in the popular group and be like liked and like, because I think getting bullied in primary school didn't help anyway with that. So I feel like I really wanted to make a change in secondary school. So I was like, okay, I need to like make a name for myself. I need to be popular. Do you know what I mean? So I think I did get in that group and these like house parties and this stuff like started to come along. So I would go to it. But sometimes there'd be self-tapes and auditions come in and I'd just shrug it off because I thought, popularity is more important right now. I need to be like, need to go to this party, need to go to that party. But I wish, don't know if I would have got some of those jobs if I would have focused on it more. And it was only like after Doolittle came out when I just turned 16 that I was like, because I'd focused on it before, but it's just that little gap of, I don't know what happened. It was a little gap of not focus, proper focusing. And yeah, you know, if I did get those jobs, maybe I wouldn't be sitting here today. So I don't know, maybe life has its way of working things out, but I wish I did concentrate more. And my mum was just telling me to concentrate, but I'd be like, no, because I want to go to this party, I want to go to that party. Mum's like, you've got plenty of time for that. Just like, self-tape takes like what? Like an hour at max to do? Then you can go. Like, but the thing is, I'd always leave things to the last minute anyway. Even with homework, I'd leave things to the last minute. What is it worth after you leave secondary school anyway? Nothing.
Is that the homework?
No, just like popularity.
Oh, the popularity. Yeah, like, oh, right. Like, I was like, doing the homework.
No. Like, it means nothing. And actually, the people who weren't as popular are together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We've just merged into one massive group. So, like, it doesn't matter. So, I feel like people let school and school life get into their head too much. Just find your true friends and people that you genuinely get on with. And that's all you need. You don't need popularity. You don't need, like, I was always bothered about girls liking me and stuff. Like, I just want, like, it sounds sad, but I wanted it. I was like, I want girls to have a crush on me. I want this, I want that. And I was probably a bit of a brat in being like that, but, like, I just wasn't my true self and I was so focused on being popular and just trying to, I don't know, be the funny one in class, not focusing on my work and just trying to distract everyone. Being an absolute idiot and trying to make everyone laugh and be the class clown when the teacher's trying to do the work, do you know what I mean? That's something I wish I could change. But like I said, if I didn't have that break, then would I be sitting here today? Everything happens for a reason, I suppose. Because each job could change. One job could change your whole life.
Yeah, it really
could. Negatively or positively, anything. Do you know what I mean?
The industry is so mad like that. And I think I am of the school of thought that things happen the way they're supposed to. And there was obviously a lesson there that had to be learned.
Of course. Yeah.
In the actions that you were doing, that sounds like has been learned. And actually, you know, it sounds school specific perhaps, but I think that's really good advice for people at any age. People seek external validation all the time. Look at social media.
Yeah.
People are constantly seeking external validation. They're seeking popularity.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? This thing goes around every now and again. That's like, you know, you get really upset if you only get like 30 likes on a post or something.
Oh yeah, it's
30
stupid.
People walked up to you and said, "Hi, I think you look really nice today." You'd be overwhelmed.
Of course. Yeah.
And so that, like, I suppose it's about perception, isn't it? And I think sometimes you have to learn what the correct way to perceive things is or are by going the wrong way about it. Lucky for you, you did that young and now you know. And so now you're set up.
I mean, I'm just glad it happened to me while I was in school and I didn't turn into a proper idiot when I'm older, because I feel like, you know, when we get told we're going to meet big actors, we're like, are they going to be a complete knob, or are they going to be really nice? Yep. Do you know what I mean? You don't know. But everyone I've met has been lovely so far. But I feel like there is some out there.
Oh, yeah, there definitely are. And but I mean, those people are often talked about. And
yeah.
I think if someone's going to talk about you, you want them to be saying the right things, the nice yeah. things. You know, they want to be talked. You want to be talked about as somebody who's easy to work with.
Exactly.
And all the rest
I don't
of
get
it.
It's just like career suicide if you do that. If you are a knob, then people are going to talk. Everyone talks in this industry, don't they?
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Like, if you're bad, or like, if you're treating others differently for the people that run around and get you a tea in the morning that are literally the same as you, why?
Yeah.
They're doing you a favour. Everyone's got a job to do. Just be nice, and then it's better for you if you're nice, and it's better for them. Like, it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? It's a no-brainer. But people's egos get in the way. I think people...
Yeah.
Well, it's that external validation. It's like, well, so-and-so is paying attention to me now, or, you know, this many people follow me now, or blah, blah, blah. And yeah. it's just like people just... Their egos are inflated. But it sounds like you've got a really good support system.
Yeah.
And a 100%. Good head on your shoulders.
Yeah.
That'll serve you well.
Well, if I ever change... I've always said to people, if I ever change, I will give you permission to punch me in the face and tell me that I'm changing.
Well, that's harsh.
No.
Could they not just tell you
care.
Without the punch?
No, because, well, thing is, if you tell someone they've changed, they ain't going to change.
I see. It's the punch that's
going
to do it.
It's the punch that's going to do it, the okay. make your realisation. But the only person that could probably do that to make me realise is my mum, probably.
Okay. Mum, this
yeah.
one's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's true, though. I'm really lucky with mates as well. I know that if I ever started to act like an idiot, they'd be like, Harry, pack it in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But hopefully, touch wood, I never get there. And I don't think I ever will. And I'm just going to stick to being me, and I don't want to change anyway. So
good. That's so
I won't.
Gorgeous.
I won't
good.
Change.
That's what the people need to hear, yeah. man. We don't want you to change, Harry. We love you just the way you are.
I'm not going to change.
And do you have a request for the next guest?
I would say, if you was an actor, would you ever think about doing anything outside of the industry or inside the industry? Because I'm always... you know, curious to find out, because I definitely know that if acting doesn't work out, I know I said I know how to DJ now, but I'd always want to go into maybe directing or writing still. So I feel like people are either not completely in it if they're not an actor or actress, or they are like in it still, like
yeah,
in the industry.
Else.
Do you know what I mean? So that's my request for the guests.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Do you have a backup, Adele? Like, is your, like, I a bit, is it like, the, it, not really a backup, but like, is there something that, like, you would want to fall back on if it all hits the fan? Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't say it's a backup. At the moment, I still, I also, like, coach actors. So I work with actors
cool.
to help them navigate the industry, basically just to feel like they're not on their own and to understand what the industry's like from the inside.
Yeah.
And I help them with auditions. And I also write, which is something I've been doing for the last few years. But I always wanted to be a teacher. Maybe that's where
really?
The coaching came in, because coaching is not teaching, but it's still kind of...
No, it's basically
know,
the
it's
same.
It's a people
yeah.
business, isn't it? Yeah, I always wanted to teach primary. So if I'd never become an actor, that's the route I would have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like the little kiddies, the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
It's the sound of an empty cup.
That's the sound of an empty cup. Is
yeah.
that? That's how much you enjoyed your first hot coffee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially by London Nootropics.
Smashed it, babe. Absolutely smashed it.
Did I get
it.
The job?
You've got the job. You've got the job.
I got the job.
You've got the job. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. So, Harry, what's your self-care intention for the foreseeable future?
Take a little break from social media while I'm filming, I think, because I feel like I really need to have a clear head in season two. Season two is important. That's mega important. Stuff is kicking off right now. Like, do you know what I mean? Especially like from the last episode of the season, like stuff is getting a bit fiery. So I need to, you know, have a clear head. There's been opportunities that I've, sort of like business ideas that I've with my mate Matt that I've we've put on hold for a minute just why I do season two, because I'm really scared of stuff getting in my head and me not doing it right. So that's going to be my full focus for next year. I think just genuinely, but generally being well and still making time with my friends and family, because that's hard, because especially if we film abroad as well, because I'm not young anymore. I can't say I need a chaperone, so I bring my mum or dad, like, so I have someone there with me. I actually have to go on my own now, which is a bit tough because you don't get to see your family and friends that much. Especially when they're at uni anyway, or most of them are at uni or work, and it's tough seeing them anyway. Yeah, getting a lot of sleep, because that can be tough. And yeah, just generally taking care of... I think mental health is a big thing about it, because I feel like... I swear I read something somewhere that, like, this is probably, like, one of the hardest jobs for it because of social media and everything. But then most actors choose to not have social media.
These days.
So it is a personal preference.
Yeah.
But I've had it before. Do you know what I mean? So it's like I just sort of kept it. But I don't think I will be going on it much at all when I'm on season two of Game of Thrones, just because I want to keep my head completely clear. And I want to do the fans proud, basically. That's all I do my work for, because honestly, doing Thrones is the best thing that ever happened in my life, but also the most scariest thing that's ever happened in my life. All I want to do is make the fans happy, and if I can do that, then I can put my hands up and say that I've done it and I've made it. So I hope that I can do that.
And you will.
Hopefully.
You absolutely will. I'm Hopefully. So proud of you. I can't hope you understand. Like, you're like a little brother, man. I'm so proud of
Thank you.
You.
It's mad how far, like how many years ago was it, Casualty? Like you like, when me and you like crossed paths, because I'd come in it like once a year, wouldn't I? And then
every
I'd
now
leave.
And again, I'd be like, "Hi, Harry."
Yeah, bye, Harry. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Emily.
Yeah. And I come back and I have like a deep voice and a
yeah, it's yeah. like you're like a
yeah.
man now.
Yeah.
So I was there 2020 to 21.
Okay.
For a year and a bit from that. So yeah, it was a couple of years ago now.
Was that when me and Emily had our stuff together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah so that's mad. Isn't it mad that me and her have like so many jobs together?
It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
It's like really
from
bizarre.
Like young, you're all like, the way now. Like,
yeah, it's like a buy one get one free.
I think that's what we're going to go as.
Yeah, we come as a pair.
Yeah, yeah. I think we. Yeah, I mean we have the same agents anyway, so let's just
do
like,
you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But
it's a good package.
I'm not
deal.
Complaining. She's lovely.
You're both great. You're both really, really Thank talented. You. I'm very headstrong young people, I think, and really, really inspirational. So congratulations.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure to know you. And I love watching you soar. I love it.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for
having
coming
me.
On.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. I've actually really enjoyed it. I thought we were chatting for 15 minutes and it's now like been an hour.
An hour. Yeah.
And it literally has flown by. I've had so much fun. But thanks for having me.
I love you.
Love you too.
All right then, so, you know what, I was cussed by Vince Jerome, the last guest, for not doing outros, so here is my outro. I'm so sorry, previous guests, but here is my outro. This is a new tradition. That was Harry Collette's story. I'm sure you'll agree, just a gorgeous human being. Thank you so much, Harry, for coming on the show. You were an absolute delight. I hope you guys enjoyed that. There was some useful nuggets in there for you, some inspiration, some motivation, and some solidarity from someone who is doing really very amazing things, but has really grafted to get to this point and has experienced the same highs and lows that we all have, you know, particularly the lows. So yeah, thank you so much. If you want to keep following Harry's story, you can follow him on Instagram at Harry Collette Actor. That's 2 L's, 2 T's. And if you do want to grab yourself a cup of delicious Mojo coffee, which is what Harry was having today, then head to www.londonnootropics.com. That's NOOTROPICS, and use the code ADELEJ, ADELEJ. You can use that code as many times as you like and it'll get you 15% off your orders. Get a box of Mojo, get a box of Flow, get a box of Zen, or get a box with a mixture of all three. You will not be disappointed. And that's all from me. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, it is a blessing to have your time and your ears. Have a wonderful rest of your year, and I will see you on the other side of 2022-2023 New Year's Eve next week. Mwah! Lots of love.